Good morning, everyone. Today, we are talking about stewardship. Now, I don't know what you guys think about when you hear the word stewardship mentioned in church. Perhaps like your hand kind of subconsciously goes to your wallet just to check it's still there. Someone hasn't tried to take it and put in the offering. Perhaps you're kind of going through, feeling that guilt of buying that non-eco-friendly washing powder because it was a dollar cheaper at the supermarket the other day. But I wanted to talk about stewardship because it's really important. And stewardship is not just about your money and about your laundry powder, but it's actually about every facet of our lives. And that's what I want to talk about today. So it's a charge given by God to us all. And it's something that we need to think about regularly. And, you know, you kind of think, oh, people do stewardship sermons all the time. But actually we need to, because we need to constantly revise how are we going with this in our lives. And so today is a great opportunity for us to reflect, to think, how am I doing? Maybe I'm doing great with X and Y, but maybe Z needs a little bit of attention. So that's my hope today, that as I'm preaching here, that you too can be praying and asking the Holy Spirit to just allow you to go through each part of your life and think, how are we going? And then go forward with some gusto in this partnership we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you do give us amazing gifts. Lord, that you give us families, you give us friends, you give us the money we need, you give us all of the wonderful things in our lives that we have, the sunshine this morning, everything. And Father, we just pray that as we listen to this sermon this morning, that your Holy Spirit will really convict us of things we need to work on. And Lord, that you will also help us celebrate the things we're doing well. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if we start, we're going to start at the beginning, right? Page 2, wasn't it? In Genesis 2. Genesis 1. Oh my goodness, I told Rose the wrong reading. We've had a laugh ever since. But it was Genesis 1. Now, God has just created Adam and Eve on the sixth day, and this is the charge that he has to them. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And some people have taken this and used it as a justification to do some terrible things. People, you know, a lot of our congregation are from South Africa. If you talk to any of them about the poachers there, they'll be pretty passionate about what they share with you. When you think about miners mining all you can out of the land at the detriment to the environment, destroying more and more natural habitats for unnecessary items for us, for luxury items. But if you're to read the full account of Genesis, what we get is this amazing image of a world that absolutely flourishes. There's enough food, enough resources. There's peace between people, there's peace between people and God, peace between people and all the animals. There's this deep sense of relationship and intimacy between the natural world and people and God. It's beautiful, a beautiful image. And it's no wonder that the word Eden actually means luxury. It was this luxury that God gave to us. And that luxury included the work in which Adam did in the garden, and Eve, I'm sure. It's not just Adam doing all the work. It includes that. It was this partnership in the garden. The Garden of Eden was a place that God created and man and woman tended. This beautiful vision. I just want to spend, you know, a good 20 minutes just thinking of that, thinking of what it was originally intended for us to be like. It's very peaceful. It's the world as it should be. And as one scholar notes, the picture we get of the garden is the Bible's picture of how God intended human life to be lived. He says, the Garden of Eden is more than a place. It's also a way of life and a state of the soul. There is something prescriptive as well as descriptive in the image of the original garden of perfection. I liked that quote. And so what I believe God's charge to our great ancestors, Adam and Eve, was in being good stewards of his world, He wanted us to sustain this sense of luxury, this beautiful, peaceful way of living. That was the charge. It was to ensure that everything would stay flourishing, every aspect flourishing. So if we see stewardship as responsibly sustaining the gifts which God has given us in all areas of life, it completely changes how we view the world, doesn't it? How we view our money, our possessions, our relationships, our family, friends. I mean, they can be fraught, they can be wonderful. Our colleagues, our environment, our politics, and our economics. Pretty much everything you can think of comes under this stewardship. And that is what we want to see flourish. Everything. It also means that we have to be good stewards of our minds. We need to figure out what sustaining this state of flourishing means in different areas, in different situations. What does it mean to have the person who is talking to you in a conversation flourish? How can we enable that? I also like God's charge of stewardship because it's one which is active, not passive, if you read the text. As disciples of Jesus, we're called to action, to work for God's kingdom, and in doing so, bear fruit for God's glory. God invites us into the work which he does, sustaining the world. It's hard work, I imagine, and we are invited to partner in that. When we're exercising our stewardship, we partner with God in his creative and sustaining work. So when we think about what that looks like in our own lives, in our work, in our relationships, what does that look like for us? Now, when we moved into our place in Pakuranga a while ago, we first moved in and there were two citrus trees in the backyard, and one of them was bursting full of lemons, right? And the other one was just this beautiful bush, and it had these beautiful, you know, dark leaves, looked lovely. And so the first year we kind of waited and just no fruit whatsoever. And the next year we thought, okay, look, we've got to get out Google and figure out how to prune a tree, right? Because we're amateurs. So all you gardeners, we should have just asked for help. But anyway, we wanted to do it ourselves. So we look up Google and go, okay, where are we cutting? We grab somebody else's secateurs and we start going for it. And this bush, you know, ends up looking pretty sorry for itself. But this mystery citrus tree, which we're all going, oh, what's it going to be? It was the kind of talk around the church at the time. We you know, pruned it and it started bearing fruit. And you know when you start, it starts to bear fruit, no one can tell what it is. I don't know, experienced gardeners might, but it was very confusing. We're sitting there going, is it a lemon? Is it a grapefruit? Is it a lime? What could it be? Mandarin? Who knows? Anyway, it did grow, and it was, you know, it got all this fruit, and it was great. And it was amazing because, you know, at times when you're reflecting on stewardship and, you know, you hear the sermons from John 15 about the pruning and that sort of thing, we were literally pruning this tree when I was preaching a sermon on John 15, so it was just perfect timing. But the thing is, I was thinking when we were doing it, you know, the plant looked great. God had made a great plant and it was bushy and it was nice and it would have kept on growing. But it was actually our partnership with God that brought that fruit out. It's a cool thought. If we hadn't intervened with that tree, it would have just been a lovely tree. But God wants us to partner with him in his work. So we need to look around, see where God is working, and get on with that. Get on board with that. It's very cool thing to think that we're partnering with God in his creating and sustaining work. So, like the mystery citrus tree, which turned out to be grapefruit. Very disappointing. We're not a grapefruit people. So, like the whole build up, total letdown. Anyway, we need to cultivate things which God has entrusted to us. And when it comes to relationships, this can be really hard. We're trying to be good stewards of our families. The gift of a wife or a husband, children, parents, grandchildren. It's hard work. And we need to keep God central in our lives to do this well. If we're going to work this partnership, we need to have an active partnership with God. I know my children are a great example of this hard work. They need supervision. You know, they need constant praise. They need constant attention. They need discipline. They need us to be patient with them. This is hard, man, especially with three small children. You've seen ours. They're wonderful, crazy little beings. But the important thing is that when we keep God with us, it's so much easier. You know, there's times where I just feel like ripping my hair out. And then they'll say something, or they'll sing a song that they've learnt at kindy, and it's like, you know, what's the one, this little heart of mine, my little heart has a great big love for Jesus. Now, if anyone saw our little girl singing that, I mean, your heart just melts. And, you know, that's when you go, I'm not doing this alone, you know? I can get through this because I am partnering with God. It's the same with marriage. We can take marriage for granted, can't we? And we just rush about our lives and we're kind of like, you know, the cursory, hello, how's your day? Oh, yeah, it was all right, you know, off on to the next thing. We need to be looking at how we are stewards of our marriages. We need to create that time, that space for the intimacy to develop and to flourish. And it's another one of those things. If we don't keep God central, our marriages will start to not work. And they certainly won't be flourishing. Because if we do it by ourselves, I don't know where we'd be, eh, Chris?
It's like a great big
heart. Yeah, yeah. It's not quite as cute when you do it. He'll get his counselling session later. And I wonder, what about strangers? We've talked about the relationships that are close to us. What about the people that we don't know? What about the people we don't like? What about, you know, your neighbours? What about anybody who walks down the road? How are we doing with that? Do we have time for them? It's so hard when we feel like we don't have time for our kids or families, let alone the people that God is sending us out there to get to know Him, to invite them into our church. And what about other areas of our lives? I'm not meaning to overwhelm you, but, you know, life's pretty big. And we've got other areas. Are we using our talents, skills, and passions? Are we using them in godly ways? Are we developing those and using those to develop other people so that they can flourish? Is there an area in your life or work or in the life of our community which you can see is unjust or corrupt? What is it that you can do to stand against this poor stewardship? Recently, I saw the thing going around on the women's chat group, and it was talking about the submissions that people were making on the abortion reforms. And I was looking at this going, yes, this is exactly right. It's being good stewards of the life which God has given to us. So well done to all the women who did that. I wonder if there's other areas that I haven't talked about now that's coming into your mind. Is the Holy Spirit talking to you this morning and saying, yep, this is the area that I want you to work on? So just acknowledge that as we keep going. And when we do reflect, I've got a few questions that can help that I'll share with you now. I wonder often, what do we need to let go of in order to partner with God, to enable everyone around us to flourish and life around us to flourish? And what do we need to take up? Two excellent questions that we always ask in spiritual direction. What do I need to let go of, and what do I need to take up? Where is God in a current situation in your life? How can you partner with Him? Really partner with God in that place. These questions take a long time to answer. They're not ones that you can answer now, but they're ones that you can take away and just think, how does that work? How can I best navigate the situation? And I think the final question that we need to think about is, what is the question that God's putting on your heart? What is God asking you? What is God asking of you? An important observation about stewardship from our Matthew reading is that stewardship has eternal consequences. So if I haven't overwhelmed you already, and now I'm adding something else. But the point is, I'm just going to say before I start this part, that God is with us and we can do anything with God. And so it shouldn't be a scary thing. We should see these as opportunities. ways in which that we can bring flourishing to God's creation. The scene is set on Judgment Day, and it's the parable of the sheep and the goats. And before our Lord are some faithful followers, and they stand to be judged. And Jesus says to them that without knowing it, without holding generosity of compassion, of time, of money, resources, that these people fed, clothed, and visited him. Now, it's obvious that one of the outward signs of those who belong to Jesus, those people who are true and radical disciples, is this generosity, a generosity with the gracious gifts which Jesus has given to us. And it's a using of those gifts. The generosity is in order to enable the things around them to flourish. Particularly in this verse, it's allowing people to flourish, the people who society assume would be the least worthy to be helped. Perhaps it's people who have been bad stewards of the gifts which God has given them. But that's what marks us out as different. That we are generous and we do look out for those situations in which we can help other people flourish. When our hope comes forth in faith, which overflows in radical acts of generous, godly stewardship, we show the world what the kingdom of God is like, and we show ourselves as faithful servants living questionable lives. If we unashamedly display good stewardship, we will not only bring glory to God, but we will also cause a holy curiosity. Like we said with the Bell studies, people will start asking questions, and hopefully we have the answers ready to give them, to lead them to the reason why we're doing this. Because the love of God is in our hearts, and we have been so blessed that we want to bless others. Now, last week at the ACM, Chris shared a sort of future vision that a lot of you weren't here for, or a lot of you may not have heard. And so I would like to share it again. I will read it so that you get the same as what was shared last week. So one of the things which excited us about the parish profile when we first came here was that GPC had big plans and big visions. And we were excited about where God was leading this church and how everyone seems to be prepared to step out. And that is such a cool thing. Having that trust in Jesus was one of the main things that made us want to come here. It's exciting. We have also heard from many quarters in the parish of the frustration of this is what happens when you read somebody else's speech. Okay, so, in summation, there were people who are frustrated that we haven't moved forward, okay, that there were no definite plans put in place and that they couldn't be because obviously the situation of Douglas not being here and being without a minister, and that GPC is sitting on a reasonable amount of savings that the parish believes to be used and for ministry purposes. So that's how the situation was when we got here. And now we believe the time has come to move forward. Coming out of our 10 weeks of prayer, we strongly heard the desire for people to be led by the Lord and by leaders of this church to be able to engage better with the Glendowie community, to be given more and more opportunities to share our faith, to be a living part of the garden, which is our community, and to have a real, true, and deep impact on the lives of everyone in our community, on the broken lives of Glendowie, which we know are out there. We are acutely aware that we cannot, in this day and age, and in this community, achieve our hopes and dreams for outreach, evangelism, and influence by simply putting on church services or having a trendy band or a great PowerPoint display. We cannot achieve the kingdom's mission as an island sending out soapbox preachers as strangers into the community. If that is as big a dream as we dream, we will become a Christian club, which is irrelevant and out of touch with the world and unable to influence it with the good news of Jesus Christ. What we believe God was saying through our prayers and through the longings and desires of people's hearts was that in order to fulfill this mission and create opportunities, okay, I have no idea what that says. To fulfill his mission, I'm building up this crescendo and then it's just ending, was that in order to fulfill his mission and create opportunities, the people lost, okay, It's tight, but there's like dashes, like he hasn't quite decided which word to use. Now I'm trying to like, oh, crud. Okay, so we must become a part of the very fabric of the community that's in CAPS. We want GPC to become a community hub with people coming in and out and getting to know us as we get to know them. We want to do life with people. We want those relationships to develop naturally. We have a strategic location here by the school opposite this beautiful park. We're by the water. We're in a great place. This is prime real estate. But it's great for our mission, and we need to keep that in mind. Like our vision statement says, it is only through influencing, building relationships, and living transformed lives, questionable lives, in the midst of this community that we can bring about growth and change. With this in mind, the Parish Council are taking a day away on the 20th of October to explore the many and various dreams, visions, hopes, and ideas which people have had for GPC and for this site that people have come and talked to us about. We're aware of many. You guys have a lot of great ideas. There's been a cafe, a community centre, extending the community reach of the Kindy, a counselling centre, family resource centre, Christian Business Collective, purpose-built youth facilities, industrial kitchen for preparing meals for the homeless and needy, and I imagine for doing cool cooking classes and, you know, helping people make the most of what they've got, and so many more. When we have taken time away, discussed, prayed, and consolidated these ideas, we will come back in November and present a proposal, or perhaps even a number of proposals for the site, and begin a parish consultation process. We want to pray together, and we want to move forward together. The resources we have, this call of stewardship, is not just for the parish council, but for everyone here. And so we want to get our input. We want all the ideas to come in before we go away. We want to consider them, and then we will bring back the most viable ones to give to you guys to consider. This process is not something we want to keep behind closed doors, as I've just said. This is something we want to work together on. And as a whole church family, we want to walk on this journey together so that we're united in our vision and our purpose. So talk to a PC member if you've got any ideas or any concerns, anything like that. Come and talk to a PC member or to Chris or I, and we can take them away with us. We want to make big plans, 5, 10, 15-year plans of where Jesus is taking us. In the meantime, though, we cannot remain static. The temptation is for us to say, well, we're waiting for our big strategic plan, and when that comes back, then we'll act. I'm sure you've seen this happen before, and everything stays the same. But we cannot miss out on the opportunities that God is putting in front of us now. What efforts we might be being led to make in order to bring people into GPC in the here and now. So when Stuart Lang came to talk to us about a healthy church, he indicated that there are a number of things which we can do in order to make GPC more accessible and attractive to visitors and non-Christians. One simple solution is to ensure that the worship space is modern, warm, and inviting. With this in mind, PC has set aside money in our budget to engage an interior designer to help us spruce up our worship space, with an eye to updating the paint scheme, seating, lighting, and furniture. While we are lucky that most of these have been updated in the last 20 years from wonderful parishioners and their paintbrushes, they're looking a little bit tired and in need of updating. As we don't want to decide on this alone as ministers, because design things, you can cop a lot of flack for that, and nor do we want to create our ideal church, we want the congregation to have an opportunity to participate in that. So we're proposing forming a committee made up of myself, one person who's over 65, one person who's 30 to 65, and one person under 30 years of age, to consult with this designer. And what we'll do is have a time where the people of those age groups can gather with that person and give all of your feedback to them, and then they bring it to the committee. So we want to get a place that every age group is represented in and can be happy with, and a space that we together as a family are all proud of. Again, making sure we remain grounded and continue to remember that Jesus has told us that he will build his church and we are to make disciples, Chris and I are committed to continuing to lead in discipleship and mission, to provide opportunities to invite others to come to know Jesus, as well as upskilling and teaching. So while this future consultation is taking place, Chris and I will be keeping on bringing us back to the here and now so we can continue to grow and to fulfill God's plans for the unsaved people of Glendowie. If we aren't fully participating in this mission now, it won't magically happen when the big picture plans come into place. We've got to be doing it now. So we must remain focused on the pigs, as Chris said last time. We must pray, invite, give, and serve to the fullest. As we celebrated our new members a couple of weeks ago, we're heartened by the fact that GPC continues to grow, and it will continue to do so if we remain faithful and see the opportunities and take them as they arise. One of the other things we will need to make a decision on as we do move forward is a second service to accommodate the positive growth we have. We've spoken about this before, and as you can see by our seats, maybe less so in the school holidays, it was more pertinent last week, the time is coming where they're full, and we need to make a decision on how to move forward with that. So please pray and think of suggestions of what might work. It's impossible to please everyone. I'm putting that in as my own thing. But we can get general ideas of what will work, and we can all make a little bit of a compromise in order for more people to be able to come into our church and be part of our family. So we will be looking at that, starting that at the start of next year, hopefully. As the vision of the church was largely on hold after Douglas's resignation, and then we had a period of no minister, and then finally you found us and got us on board, there's been a period of just sustaining. It's time for that creating to start coming in as well. But now the parish council and a bunch of people who keep coming to us with ideas see the need to start to move forward with fulfilling the church's vision. And so it seems like there's a lot going on, doesn't there? But don't see this as a bad thing. Finding a vision for the future is an exciting thing. Growth and development are necessary and natural for any organism that is alive, and by the power of Jesus Christ, the church is alive. Hallelujah. As GPC grows, change will take place naturally and by necessity, but change is good. Although it may seem like there will be a lot going on and the visionaries of the church will have their heads in the clouds, Chris and I are committed to making sure that we as a community remain grounded firmly in Christ and our mission. We will ensure that communication is maintained so as to include everyone, so that we can walk forward together as the body of Christ here in Glendowie. Together we have the ability to do great things. So let's start on our knees together. One last thought that I'd like to finish on, that as we seek to be good stewards in all areas of our lives and with our church, we must remember that all of this is possible because Jesus was faithful with his life. Jesus showed the ultimate act of stewardship on the cross, faithfully doing the mightiest act of love to guarantee that you and I would flourish as we put our faith and hope in him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are our God, and we are your people. You've given us your mission to partner with you to ensure that this world will flourish. And God, the Great Commission to go out and make disciples. God, it is our heart's desire to do this, to do it well. And Lord, it is our desire to be good stewards of the gifts you have given to each of us in our own lives and here at this church. God, may this be a time where we rely so heavily on you. Direct us, Lord. Help us to ask the right questions of ourselves and others. And Lord, may we always come back to you. May your will be done here in Glendowie, in our lives, the lives of those in the community who we seek to bring to our family. Amen.